The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
Hey there, how is everybody?
Today we're going to be talking about episode 5, Blood Calls Blood. Kat, what did you think of this episode?
Oh my goodness, I loved it. We'll get into it a little bit, but I did have a couple of problems with it. But for the most part, I loved it.
So we open up with a funeral scene.
Yep.
For Karine and a bunch of other people that died. And I guess you'd call it a battle with Loghain's followers and
Aes
Sedai camp.
It was a battle. That's, yeah, definitely.
We saw.
And I mean, the fact that they were, like, coming back from where they had captured Loghain, it's like a big.
Yeah. We saw the King of Gildan died in that attempt to free Loghain, and they seemed to be burying him along with
the other people. They were taking care of everybody. That was really kind. I was very confused about what they were doing, just for the fact that, like, there's all these very shallow graves.
Yeah, like maybe 10 inches down,
right.
Maybe.
Right, and then they put a candle on them, but I don't know. I just thought that was weird. Like, why not have
with a burial cloth and?
And then they like walk away. It seems like a strange.
Oh, don't forget about the arrangement of the bodies.
Now, that was cool though.
To look good from above.
Yeah, it had to look good from above. Yeah. Visually very beautiful. But yeah, I don't know why they didn't, you know, put them on biers or something and do, you know, something that seems more time period-esque of doing, like, burning the bodies. Because, like you were saying when we watched it, is you want them to get eaten by wolves?
Right. Because an animal's definitely going to dig up that body.
Right. So I was a little bit confused. I didn't really understand.
Yeah.
So that was one of my issues. Just starting off, I was like, but why, though? This doesn't make any sense.
I did think it was interesting. Moraine said some classic Borderlander
words. Yeah, that was sweet.
Over Karine. May the last embrace of the mother
welcome you home. Yeah, that was really sweet.
Yeah. That's what Borderlanders say when they bury one of their dead comrades.
Yeah, and she wasn't a Borderlander, but Lan is.
Yeah, Lan's Malkiri.
So.
So, that was interesting. I'm trying not to read too much into their burial practices.
Yeah, I think it was just to look good.
Just to look good.
Yeah.
Maybe it would take too long to dig a proper grave.
I don't know, they've got Aes Sedai that could move the ground. But it did make for a really cool visual. And then, you know, Stepan taking her ring was just very sweet that he's taking it back to Tar Valon.
The other thing I found interesting about
Tar Valon
that is he put her boots in their stirrups and let her horse.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. That's weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. I could see why, oh, yeah, definitely symbolism, but the ring makes sense, but the boots are kind of a different way to bring her home.
Yeah, I don't know.
I also noticed that she had a green saddle because she was green Aja. Yeah. That was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably worth saying that Karine and Stepan, that whole storyline, those characters are not in the books.
Karine and Stepan are in the books, but not in that way.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Stepan is not a character in the books.
He's not one of her warders?
No.
But she's in New Spring.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a very, very different character. Well, she's green. She's in, even in New Spring, she's like very by the book rules oriented. And, you know, you see that in the last episode where she wanted to, you know, she didn't want to gentle Loghain outside of the White Tower. Anyway, either way, definitely a very different storyline.
Yeah, but I think the show's doing a good job of show, don't tell. They're not doing a lot of exposition. So instead of in the books, they talk about the warder bond. But in this, they show the warder bond.
Yeah.
The closeness of the warder and Aes Sedai and what happens to a warder when his Aes Sedai dies. And Moraine seems to be very worried about her own death. And so she has conversations about what happens when she dies and if you can pass the bond or sever the bond with Alana. So I thought that was all very interesting.
Yeah, I liked that too. And, you know, Alana talking about that it could, or I guess somebody, Lan maybe, was talking about that if Stepan would be bonded to Alana, it could ease his grief. Mm-hmm. And Stepan, you know, when you first said that, Stepan's all like, yeah, you talk to me about that when you lose your Aes Sedai.
Yeah.
But it was, it's really interesting because it's like, yes, we see grief in life, but this is, they talked about already, you know, it's deeper than a husband, wife, it's deeper than a mother, child. So the grief that Stepan had was so, so deep. And I thought that actor, I can't remember his name, but he just did such a great job, like showing his grief when he goes to, excuse me, when he goes to Nynaeve to get the tea and he's like got the bottle of alcohol, obviously, like, I don't know. I really appreciated what he did with that part.
Yeah, he did a great job in this episode. I really, the acting's been very good.
I think so too.
In the show, I've been very much enjoying it.
Yeah.
We get to see our first views of Tar-Valon.
Yeah, Tar-Valon is how they say it.
In the audio books, they don't say it that way. They say Tar-Valon. So that's kind of how I've been.
Tar-Valon.
That's how I've been saying it in my head.
So for we'll years, try so. To say it the way they do on the show, but
yeah, forgive us if we
mess up. Yeah, it really. I was very happy with the look of Tar-Valon.
Yeah.
Tar-Valon.
Yeah. So Tar-Valon is. It's important that it's like an island in the middle of a river. So the river parts on either side of it, and it's kind of shaped like a diamond with harbors on either end. And they definitely did that in the show, and it's in the shadow of Dragon Mount, which is a active volcano.
Yeah, you can see it.
That's looming over the city. And so they did a great job with the CG.
Yeah, and I liked Matt and Rand coming up to it and how Rand's like, that mountain, I feel like I've seen it before, but we know he's never been outside the two rivers.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting little... what's going to happen there?
Yeah, so at first I thought actually that Rand and Matt were traveling with like a party, kind of like Egwene and Perrin were. I think that they're just traveling and there's a lot of people on the road.
I think so too. I was thinking like, and if you're going into the city, like if you're going into Baltimore or New York City or something, there's a lot of cars.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that.
Well, one thing that the books make a big deal of throughout the series really is refugees fleeing from one war or fleeing to
and we know safety. There's the war that was going on in Gildan.
So they haven't mentioned like refugees in the show, but maybe that's what we are seeing,
maybe
with all those people on the road.
We also noticed that Matt looked terrible.
Oh boy, he is looking rough,
which builds off of, you know, Tom saying maybe he can channel, maybe he's going crazy. He looked awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
He's going through bad stuff.
Yeah. And then he snaps at that little kid.
Oh, he's got a troubled mind, too.
Yes.
Because in the last episode... It kind of seemed like, did he kill that family?
And he asks Rand about it. Like,
yeah,
he's not sure if he did.
Yeah. Which, you know, I know is tearing him apart because that little girl reminded him of his little sister.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. When he snapped at that kid, you can see the deterioration of him right now. Mm-hmm. Like, he loved his sisters. He took care of them. He was sweet with that little girl. And then in this, he seems to not really have any remorse that he did that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In the city, we see that Tar-Valon is filled with all kinds of people. We see camels, and we see people with all different kinds of clothing. And that's very book accurate that there's people from all over the place, all these different nations that come to trade and things in Tar-Valon and learn from the Aes Sedai or maybe ask help of some sort from them.
It reminded me of like an Arabian city, even the music that they had playing and I don't know, all the like marketplace and the camels.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Even though the land around it is not desert, it's like forest.
The city itself.
Yeah.
Just seemed like...
The architecture kind of seemed like that,
Definitely.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yes, that was cool. And we got to see a very unexpected person that we didn't actually really notice in our first viewing, Padden Fane,
Yes.
the
So if you
peddler
missed
from.
it, it's at I wrote it down. It's at 20 minutes and like 14 seconds or something. And it's when Matt and Rand are watching the city. They're getting ready to see Loghain like get passed through the city, and it just stops for just a second. And Padden Fane is he was the peddler back in the Two Rivers that like Matt was trying to buy some stuff off of, and he sold.
He fenced for Matt. Matt stole that bracelet and he fenced it for him.
So, but then you saw him. We actually didn't talk about this. The very first episode, the Trollocs came and he just like slipped away.
Yeah. Well, he clearly saw the Trollocs were attacking and he kind of smiled and then he just walked away.
Right. And now we see him here kind of hiding in the shadows, and then he kind of laughs and slips away. That was, yeah, I didn't notice that on our first watch through. So if you didn't see it, go back and look at that.
We also got a scene that's kind of from the books, but in a different place. In
Yes.
the books, Loghain is being paraded
Oh, I was thinking of.
through Caemlyn, and Rand climbs up a wall to see him. And in this, the Matt and Rand see Loghain paraded through the streets of Tar Valon, and people are throwing stuff at him. He's been gentled, so he's kind of sitting dejectedly in his cage, but we get this moment where he looks at the boys at Matt and Rand, and it seems like he takes special
It was
notice.
really interesting because Matt like kind of freaks out a little bit, and it's like Loghain is laughing at him. But I wonder if that actually happened or if Matt was like hallucinating, because Rand didn't seem to have the same reaction.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I hope that there was something where there were eyes meeting or something.
Yeah. In the books, Loghain has a talent of seeing Tavirin.
Yeah. Which I
But
don't know if you remember the very first episode,
they
Moraine
mention
talks about there are four Tavirin or
five.
five Tavirin. And so Rand and Matt are obviously Tavirin, which means that the pattern works itself around them, that they can make choices. I think we talked about this in one of our episodes that was before the show, what Tavirin is. So you can go back and listen to like our first or second episode.
Yeah, but they haven't mentioned talents,
Right, that's
but
true.
they might get into that with Loghain. We'll see how the show progresses. We also get a beloved character
Yes,
introduction.
this is where I thought you were going a minute ago.
Yes, so among this the group of main characters, there's a non-human called Loial, and
Loyal, son of Ardent, son of Arend, son of Hemond, son of so many sons of.
yeah.
He only did like three in the show. I was like, aw, he was a sixth.
So just to kind of clear the air on this, in the books, Loial is like 8 feet tall. He's as tall as a Trolloc, and Rand definitely mistakes him for a Trolloc at
Like
first.
literally says Trolloc.
Yeah, because the only thing he's ever seen that tall is a Trolloc.
So backstory here. I actually saw like an interview with Rafe Judkin about that because I was disappointed to see that Loial was not going to be enormous. That's like a huge part of his character is how huge he is. And Rafe said that like money-wise, financially, it didn't make sense because what they would have had to have done, it would be very expensive for every shot. And so they would have had to not, they would have just cut scenes that had Loial. And Rafe was like, I love Loial. I don't want to cut him. So rather than try to make him big and then not be able to use him much, they just, like, I could tell that they made his hands bigger. He's a big dude. His nose was very
Yeah,
wide.
they aim some prosthetics.
Yeah. So the only thing, I wish that they would have done a nod to him being bigger. Like, maybe when Rand first sees him, he's up on a ladder or something, you know, to make it look like he's taller as a little nod to, like, yes, we realize he's supposed to be bigger than he is. I also will say this was my other qualm with this episode. I do not like Loial's hair.
Yeah, his hair is really
Oh my
weird.
goodness, I don't like it at all.
It's like orange and kind of sits on top of it. It's
and
really
like,
weird.
It's like at an angle.
Yeah, it's at a weird so angle. Weird. It's not good.
Don't love his hair, but I loved the actor's delivery. I loved that his lines were like straight from the book.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
He's very talkative. Mm-hmm. He's very smart. Clearly, he's very smart. He doesn't really understand humans, and he has this habit of repeatedly mentioning how strange humans are as he's talking to a human, which he doesn't even think that it's rude.
I love the part where he's like, oh, where is this girl? Or is she a woman? You humans age so quickly.
He insists that Rand is an Aielman.
From the Two Rivers.
No matter what Rand says.
Who doesn't think he's an Aielman. Who insists he's not an Aielman. And I loved Rand's reaction. Like, it was really cute how Rand is like, I'm not. What are you talking about, you crazy person?
Yeah.
They were really good. That was such a cute little exchange.
Yeah, that was good. And that's very book accurate.
Yeah.
Where they meet in a library. Uh-huh. Of course, in the books, they meet in Caemlyn. In the Queen's Blessing, but that's okay. I'm glad that they still met at an inn in the library, and they had this good-hearted...
And he's got the whole thing about people were afraid of me in the streets. And
It's
very similar to what happens
That was good.
Yeah,
and in the books, they become really good friends, really.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see that.
Yeah. We also see more of the Tinkers with Perrin and Egwene. And
how fierce they can be, even with their passivity. Brave.
Oh, yeah. Man. So brave. So we get more of the White Cloaks, too. Now, this is not really... They do get captured in the books by the White Cloaks, Egwene and Perrin.
It's a very different
circumstance. But it's a completely different circumstance. But I like this.
I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, I thought that it was... Again, the White Cloaks were very menacing, very scary. Very nasty.
Valda is so gross.
Valda is nasty. He is a mean, bad dude.
I wonder how he, like, was so sure that Egwene could channel. You know, how he's like, I know you can channel. And she's like, I really can't. I wonder how he was so sure. Or if it's just because he's so nasty. Like, he was just like, this will work for me. If she doesn't channel, I kill him. And if she does, I kill her.
And him carving on poor Perrin.
Oof. So gross.
So, in the books, Perrin gets beat up by the White Cloaks. And he's like covered in bruises. But they don't like cut his back into ribbons like that.
But the title of the episode is Blood Calls Blood.
Yes. There's a lot of blood. So, as he's being cut on, he has this intense moment where his eyes turn golden, and then soon after you hear wolves howling.
Yeah.
So you get more of this connection between Perrin and wolves that we've been seeing for a few episodes now, where you know the wolves kind of follow him, and one like licks his hurt leg.
Yeah, that's
so
weird.
So it's really interesting. And at one point, as they're escaping, the wolves are really the ones that help them escape, because a bunch of wolves attack the White Cloak camp, and
then you see that moment where he's like looking at the one wolf and he's like, it's cool, he won't hurt us. Okay,
as the wolf is like snarling at
right, like, how do you know that? And his eyes are yellow at that point. I loved how the escape happened with like Egwene. Yeah. You know, barely channels this teeny tiny little thing that doesn't hurt Valda at all.
But it is enough to burn ropes.
But it was enough to burn his ropes. And then when he comes out of the ropes and he like, he's got the yellow eyes and he like growls this nasty wolf type. Like, I wasn't sure if it was Perrin or the wolf that was outside the tent, you know?
Yeah.
You'd been hearing that was real. And Valda's like, oh no, what's happened? Like, he was a little bit, well, not just a little bit. It scared him, which was interesting. Because here he is, this, like, you know, fierce, really scary dude, and now he's scared.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious about his character, if he is the sort of man who's only brave when the situation is in his favor.
Right.
So, Egwene actually is the one that takes him out. Perrin doesn't really do anything to him.
Right.
Egwene sneaks up behind him and stabs him. Looks like kind of in the collar.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to kill him.
I don't think so either, but...
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. And so they run off into the night, and that's kind of the end of Egwene and Perrin in this episode.
So we do see that Nynaeve finally is able to meet up with Matt and Rand.
Yeah, and that's thanks to Loial.
Yes!
Because Rand had given a description of Egwene and Nynaeve to Loial, and Loial is allowed to roam around in the tower, and he comes back with Nynaeve.
That was so cute. Like, he's going on, too. It's another, like, this is Loial's character, that he's like, oh, the braid is a very big symbol in the Two Rivers, you know, and, yeah. Like, they don't care at all. They're just so happy to see each other.
Yeah.
That and was really cute.
Nynaeve immediately was concerned about Matt, because mm-hmm. he's, like, laying on the bed looking just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And he snaps at her when she tries yes. to touch him.
Yeah.
So it's just more confirmation that something's not right with him.
Yeah.
But Rand clearly does not trust the Aes Sedai. He does right. not want to go to the tower for their help.
Well, he's afraid that Matt can channel, and Tom yeah. told him that story about Owen.
Yeah.
So you can see why he's scared.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Nynaeve is clearly not sure what she can do to help Matt.
Right, but is also distrusting of the Aes Sedai.
Yes. And she has this really... Leandrin with her is really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It, like, the way Leandrin is, it's almost like she's trying to seduce Nynaeve. Yeah. But
she definitely wants her to be a red.
She definitely is trying to recruit her to the red.
Her smile is so nasty. And yeah. It's like how in the books, Robert Jordan would say, like, a smile that never touched their eyes.
Mm.
That's, like, the perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's her smile. It's so nasty. And it's just, like, I don't know. Nynaeve definitely doesn't trust her at all.
No. And neither does Moraine.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting more and more glimpses into tower politics.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly a lot of movements and political maneuvering going on in the tower.
Yeah.
I am thinking that Leandrin is actually an amalgamation of Elida as well.
Oh, that makes sense. That they've put Leandrin and Elida
kind of together.
That's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if that's the case.
Yeah. I kind of hope they don't do that.
Me too. There's a lot of differences between the two of them.
Elida is a really big character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. So, yeah. So, I guess we don't really need to talk about what Elida is. It's a character in the book. She's a big character, and she's a nasty red.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Well, okay. So, to go back to Nynaeve for a sec. She tells that story about Egwene with the breakbone fever.
Yeah,
and that
to Rand.
Yeah, so that's something that's similar in the books, but not quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, the first time Nynaeve channeled was Egwene with the breakbone fever.
Yes.
And she talks about that the breakbone fever was actually not deadly, but she didn't know that. She was like too young to realize that it wasn't deadly, and that the other wisdom knew she'd be fine, but Nynaeve wasn't sure, and so she was really, you know, emotionally invested or whatever.
Yeah.
So they've talked about that Nynaeve's first time touching the source was that huge crazy healing that she did last episode, but I wonder if she doesn't realize it, that she did. Sounds like from this they're saying the breakbone fever could have killed Egwene.
Yeah.
So I think that might either just be a nod to, yes, that's the first time she, you know, if you read the books, you know that's the first time she channeled. Mm-hmm. Or if we'll find out that it really is. But it sounds like it really is for her to.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because in the show, the point of her saying that was to say Egwene's really strong.
Right.
She'll be okay.
Right.
But that's not at all the point of the story in the
that's
book.
That's true. So, that's very true.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It's another one of those differences in the books.
I am liking Nynaeve in the show. I think she's doing a great job.
I do too. Oh, what was the thing that happened that I was like, oh, what a great, that's exactly Nynaeve's character. Do you remember what that was?
Yes. Moraine was telling her about
Oh,
the
yeah.
political movements in the hall, and Nynaeve's like, well, it sounds to me like they should be afraid of me.
Yeah, because Maureen says, don't underestimate the women in this tower. And she says, well, maybe if I'm as powerful as you think, you shouldn't underestimate me. And it was like, ugh, Nynaeve, you
Yeah.
don't know what you're talking about yet.
No. You don't really know how to channel. You don't know anything about
Right.
the Aes Sedai.
Right. You don't,
Calm
like, she
down.
thinks she's so bad, but, like, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
That was funny. And then Lan just leaves the room, like, yeah, I'm not
This is
gonna.
awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not getting in on this.
So
We also get mention of the Amyrlin Seat. We still have not met her.
Yep.
In the show, but
Swan Sanchez.
Alana seems to think that she's mad at Moraine, and
Oh, that's
we've heard
right.
that before, that the Amyrlin is gonna, give him the rough side of her tongue.
Yeah, and she Alana says something like, you've got two powerful enemies in the tower. Like, obviously referring to Leandrin and Swan Sanchez,
Yeah.
the Amyrlin Seat.
I do like Le Alana a lot.
I love Alana. I think she's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like her character. I like her acting.
Yeah.
She's really good.
She's great. We also get our first mention of the
Oh,
Forsaken.
yes.
Now, in the show, it's not a, there's nothing like this in the books. You see Stepan doing this ritual
Like to ward them
to
off
ward
or
them off,
something.
and they don't do that in the books at all.
I loved the little figurines
Yeah, the little
though.
figurines.
Those.
And they took time to show you the figurines, but I couldn't figure out like who was supposed to be who.
I think I know which one was Grendel.
So in the books, there's 13, and there weren't 13
There definitely
figurines.
weren't 13, yeah.
I didn't count them, but
I didn't
I
either.
think there was like 8 or 9 maybe.
Yeah, which who knows? They might only do if they might do less just for,
Yeah, well, I mean, even in the books, you don't really get to know
There's a few of them that, yeah, you
a
never
few
even
of
really
them.
know.
Yeah.
That's true.
So that's fine. But I do like that they're kind of introducing the idea of the Forsaken. The
And he calls it
Forsaken.
Shamael the father of lies.
Yep. So the Forsaken, I don't think we've talked about them before, but
No.
they're basically super powerful dark friend. They were Aes
Like
Sedai.
immortals.
They were Aes Sedai during the Age of Legends, and they went over to the Dark One, and they were sealed away with him when Luz Theron sealed him away. So they're from another time. So when they show up in the show, which they probably will,
Yeah, I think they will.
they'll have a very person out of time feel, where they simultaneously know a lot more than anyone else, but also this isn't their time, so there's things that they won't
Yeah.
be super knowledgeable of. So
Yeah.
that'll be interesting to see how they introduce the Forsaken and what they will have in their role.
Yeah.
Stepan's doing that ritual,
Yeah.
and he's clearly not doing well mentally.
Yeah. Ugh.
And Lan is his buddy, and Lan is very concerned, so he offers to stay with him that night,
Yeah.
to stay up with him all night, so you see them
And it was so
talking and
sweet how he's like, so tell me about the wisdom. And you see Lan even like, well, if she has fallen for me, then that's a bad call.
yeah.
So it's interesting. You can see that there's going to be more there with the Lan Nynaeve storyline.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what they do to change it from the books. What changes they make. I don't want to give any spoilers, but you can tell that something's going to happen, so I'm interested to see how it's changed. Because I think there's room for improvement, let's just say. And so far, I've liked the improvement in what their conversations have been and their interactions.
Yeah. We see Stepan utilizing those herbs that Nynaeve gave him. She
Yes.
had given him herbs to help him sleep, But instead of taking them, he gave them to Lan.
Oh my goodness. As soon as Lan woke up, I was like, oh no. Like, I just knew, you know?
Yeah. So Stepan committed suicide, and poor Lan.
Running through the tower.
You know, he was trying to save his friend, and you just see the despair that he wasn't able to save him.
Mm-hmm.
So sad.
It's interesting to see so much. Another
funeral. There's those two funerals.
That's right. One at the very beginning, yeah, and then at the very end.
One for the Aes Sedai, one for the
warder. And then her warder.
Very fitting.
Yeah.
Very bookends for this episode.
It was interesting. One thing about, they talk about Lan in the books, is that he like never shows any emotion.
Mm.
And Daniel Hinney definitely is showing a lot more emotion. But I really loved, you know, knowing the character of Lan, that he's very stoic. And Maureen, at the beginning of this episode, said something about, she and Lan were talking, and he said something about Tarvalon being home. And she says, home is the saddle, the boots, this man. But I forget what she calls him. But anyway, you know that he is very stoic and not showing a lot of emotions. So I thought it was just so beautiful how he really, he's the one that's chosen to, you know, rid them of their grief by getting down. And
yeah, so that was interesting. It was almost like substitutionary grief, substitutionary mourning.
Yeah, like he mourns be the in one. Place.
That was very interesting.
I liked it.
And so they all stand around and thump their chests,
yeah,
and just keep doing that until
he's
like screaming his grief. Mm. You know, very moving, powerful.
Yeah, scene. I definitely shed some tears in this episode for sure.
Yeah, and I thought it was a great bit of acting for Moraine, that she's
that like one tear.
She's also crying.
Yeah, again, another like warder Aes Sedai bond situation where she really feels truly feels the grief that he's having at that moment.
Yeah, and Nynaeve is also there looking a bit lost. I think she wants to go to him and comfort him, but it's not the right time.
No, it's not. But yeah, that was a good bit of acting on her part too. Like,
yeah,
you could read it in her face, all of the emotions that she was having. I don't really know what is happening here. I don't know these people, but also I feel this, you know, connection. It was good. It was good. So yeah, I mean, I really, for the most part, loved this episode. I feel like they're just getting better and better.
Yeah. And again, I can't wait till next week.
Yep. It's going to be a good one. I think we're going to meet the Ammerlin.
I think so. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Shade of My Heart.
May you always find water and shade.